I think so.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, it's Friday afternoon. We're worrying whether Doc's going to come or not, but it's only nearly 10 past, and that's way too early for him. So he'll join us if he wants to, eh? Joining me to discuss the week in Apple, which is not a lot. Not a lot at all. What a fabulous bunch we've got. Starting us off, oh, I haven't done the lines. In the top left, it would be Callum. How you doing, mate?
I'm good. I'm all right.
Are you getting used to starting in the box seat now?
No.
I'm always sat there
worried, is it me? Is it not me? I don't know.
Is it not you? So, it's impossible to tell, mate.
I've got to get used to it, but Friday again. Weeks are absolutely flying by.
I know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Back on the show again as well.
And Mo told you last week you couldn't come on the show. You weren't allowed.
Yeah, he wanted me to have a Friday afternoon off, which was much appreciated.
Good man. I'm with that. That's fine because you are here. People forget that because everyone else comes here to shoot the breeze. Chuck skives off work to come here.
It's lunchtime. It's lunchtime.
Yeah, it's my lunch. Which, based on the fact that Doc never turns up at the right time or anything like that, means that when his lunch is, he's very, very, very flexible. But no, mate, it's good that you didn't come. And I mean that nicely, not in a nasty way. We're glad that you got a break, mate, from us. No, we're glad you got a break from us. But here's the thing. You're sitting there with Mo going, no, mate, you shouldn't go in. It's not work. And you're going, damn, I really wanted to go. Come on, lie. Don't you lie to me, Callum. Should have
we
sent,
can all believe that.
Joe should have been forced to do it and sub for you.
That's true. That would have been fun.
Joe should have done it. He should have made Joe do it.
He's more than welcome to do it, especially as the pubs start reopening. He's more than welcome.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Oh, yeah. Pubs are open on Monday. Yeah.
More than welcome.
A good point. No. Are you going to the pub next week then? Have you got it all arranged? Have you got it planned out?
No, but I'm sure I'll find and end up somewhere.
Oh, you got a book now.
That's normally how it happens.
You can't spontaneously go for beer, mate. That doesn't happen anymore.
Oh,
beer by booking only.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
Where there's a £10 note in my hand, there's a way. Absolutely. Joe could do it from his caravan, says Muller. Stop it. Behave, Jesus. Next to Callum, it's Jeff. Have you calmed down from all the excitement of last night, mate?
As far as I know, there are no excuses for me to be late today. You know, like bombs.
Yeah, or even unattended suitcases.
Or unattended suitcases. Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah. Nice, calm night. And so far today, it's been completely uneventful, which is a pleasant change.
We like that.
Yes.
Which is not going
Shall much. I ask what went on?
Oh, there was a bomb.
A bomb threat yesterday, and one of the supposed bombs was, it turns out, just a block from me. But anyhow, I was in the lockdown area while police went searching for bombs, and they found three of the supposed bombs, and of course, they all turned out to be fake.
Chuck was in the blast radius of the fake bomb, though.
That's some cutting-edge live reporting.
It was like CNN. It was like that, yeah.
Yeah, yes. It was exactly like CNN.
Mr. Gamut, you've got to evacuate. How can I? I have no pants on.
Seriously.
It's better than CNN, it's JNN.
Muller's just put, was it Jeff's shit excuse for getting out of podcasting for a day? Well, if it was, it didn't work. Next to Jeff is Patrice. Are you the opposite way around again from last night?
I moved. Like yesterday, I moved my office earlier this week, so I'm in another room, facing the other way.
So are you different from last night?
No, it was the same as last night.
Oh, okay, I don't remember the crease in the corner of the wall.
Maybe it was just the lighting.
If you have listened to last night's big show, it's Patrice's terrorist cell. So he did look like he was in Tora Bora making a video of threats. But
don't say it too loud.
It's not a day off there, is it?
No.
Bad luck.
Normal day. I finished a little early. I mean, that means like 3 p.m. instead of 5 after 5 or something, which would be now.
Yeah.
Finished a little early. Did a little running from doctor to doctor this morning to pick up documents because none of them are able to send documents to each other, apparently.
Oh, God.
Welcome to Austria.
Yeah.
No, they say they did, but the others never get it, so I don't know. I don't know what happened. So I just picked everything up. I'm like, okay, I was there anyway. Let's just do that.
Glad you got sorted. Yeah. Next, Patrice.
Exactly. Fun day.
It's Chuck. How's it going, mate?
Hey, I'm doing good, Ewan. But I don't live nearly as exciting a life as these other guys. One guy has a terrorist cell. The other one has a bomb threat. I got nothing.
Yeah.
They were mowing the grass yesterday. That was the big news.
Callum had a week off. Oh, it's Masters week, though, dude, just to alienate the rest of the listenership. And me are the only people in the entire network, I think, that actually play golf. So.
Yeah.
Judging by the emails I get going, you boring bastard.
Yeah, and I probably could pick this as a cool thing, but I won't. But I'll tell you, if you can get the Masters app on your phone, that is the best sports event app that you're going to find because they just do such an amazing job with it. So after the show, download the Masters app and watch it all weekend.
Cool.
So who are the Masters?
Yeah, that's all you need to know.
Never mind, Jeff. We'll send you a link.
Do you want to know a really good, cool story, which is absolutely unbearably grating for any golfer across the world? My uncle used to buy and sell carpets for the House of Fraser. Okay, so he would go out to Marrakesh or India or wherever, and he would look at all the carpets and he'd buy the carpets and they'd be brought back. It was a classic 1960s, 70s job. Loads of airline travel, first class travel, big buying executive, buying millions of pounds worth of carpets that were going to be sold for the next year, looking at the trends and all that kind of stuff. And he went to a convention in Atlanta. And he didn't play golf.
A carpet convention.
At all. He went to the carpet buyers convention or whatever it was in Atlanta. He never, ever played golf in his entire life. And there was a select group of them who were the high flyers of the group. Were all taken out for the day before the conference started, and they were all given sets of golf clubs. And he told me this story probably about the year before he died. He died when I was about 30, so you know I'd known him for years, but never actually heard this story. And he said, "Yeah, we went to a golf club and we played golf, and they gave us all golf clubs and stuff like that, and they helped us out with equipment and so on." And I was like, "Right, okay. Do you know where you played?" He said, "No." But he said it was a really special event. There's no expense spared. He said the group in front of us, their pro, so it was like three carpet buyers and a pro, their pro was Arnold Palmer. And
wow.
The group behind us, their pro, was Jack Nicklaus.
And I know these names, so they're clearly famous people. Yeah.
And he said our group, we had Lee Trevino.
Oh my God.
So, and he got a cap.
Oh, wow. That's going back a ways.
He got a Tex-Mex cap that was signed by Lee Trevino. I was like, "You're kidding." And do you remember the name of the golf course that you played? He went, "No, but it's where they play every year and it's quite a big tournament." I went, "Augusta?" And he went, "Yeah." So my uncle, who was a non-golfer, has played Augusta. And that was just, every golfer's dream is to play Augusta. And he did it, and he didn't play golf. There you go. Sorry. If you're listening to the podcast and you're not into golf, sorry. I apologise there. You can just fast forward to 9 minutes, and it's all done there.
To the end of the show.
Yeah, and last but by no means, Dave Ginsburg. Sorry, mate, go on.
You and I can't top that, but I tell you, it's been kind of a bummer because now this is the second year, obviously, the Masters has been postponed. This is the second year that we've had tickets for the practice round on Tuesday. So I should be just be coming back from Augusta. And
there is punters there, sit, though, isn't there? There is people there. Sorry? There's people at the Masters.
Yeah, but they're only families and you know, maybe just a few corporate things, but they're not letting... They're not doing the ticket thing, so we're postponed again until next year.
Bad luck.
So here's hoping.
So anyway, the Masters is a golf tournament. It's held every year. Augusta, Georgia. Dave, even. How the devil are you, mate?
Dave!
God, I'm doing good. What a confusing episode this is.
I am fully vaccinated as of today. Very happy about that.
Wow. Excellent.
That's awesome.
Yeah, just, nice. 2 weeks ago with the second dose, so that means I'm official. So I might even go to a 20% capacity restaurant and grab a meal for the first time in who knows, I can't remember how long.
A year.
But I too have taken off some work here to come here to hang out with you guys. So
Dave Skives as well, Callum. It's interesting, isn't it, that actually this show has raised the average age of the panel for the network because there's only two people on the network who haven't had at least one COVID vaccination so far. You old bastards. Oh man,
you know the cool thing, David could go to Masters and mix up the golf balls.
Yeah,
he could. Yeah, you
be could.
Let's move on to the week in Apple. Christ, before it gets any worse.
I do have the vaccine card, so I can prove
it.
Yeah,
no, I don't want to see your scar either, mate. Intel wants to kiss and make up with Apple because their newest advert says that it's the best processor in the world. And it shows a MacBook Pro, which Apple's firmly moving well away from. This is like a really bad girlfriend who says, I want to come back with you because the sex was great, but I don't really like you. Isn't it? It is. It's like, I'll get some respect, Intel.
Story of Chuck's life.
It's all about the performance.
Absolutely.
They all want Chuck back. And I mean, who can blame them?
We have so many grandchildren.
It is. It's just get some self-respect, Intel. They've moved on. They've got a new girlfriend. They don't need you no more. Or boyfriend. We can go any direction with this. Intel, stop. You're looking desperate now. They are looking desperate. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, either desperate or like really stupid, because I mean either it's desperate or it's an accident. But if it's an accident for a company like Intel, that's pretty bad.
You don't think Intel's going to get pregnant trying to keep Apple, do you?
Well, that's it. I hope their engineers are doing better than their advertising and marketing people, because this was just such a bad mistake.
Chuck, they're not doing better. I mean, they're literally not capable of making the chips Apple needs because they can't get down to what is it that Apple needs now? 5 nanometers?
5, yeah.
And Intel still hasn't been able to break 10.
Yep.
Right.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So, their engineers are not doing better than the marketers.
Maybe they should try switching that. Like, let the engineers do the marketing and the marketing people do the engineering. Maybe that works.
I can't imagine the marketing's going to be much worse, but the chips might suffer a little bit.
You think?
The marketing couldn't be worse.
I can tell you it's suffering right now. I'm listening to my fan on my MacBook Pro, so I'll be happy. I'm happy with the M1. Yeah.
But you have to install Fan if you have the M1.
I am desperate. I am burstingly desperate to stick a 16 gig Mac Mini next to my Mac Pro and see which one renders out a set file quickest. That's going to be an awesome test. I can't wait to do that. That'd be really cool. If anything Doc says is to go by, which I admit may not be, but there might be fanboy roasting specs involved, but
yeah.
The other big story of the week, and this is massive, I can't believe that I didn't lead with this, to be honest, is that Apple is accused of misleading people with prices for for movies because they're charging $14.99 for Mean Girls. Who the hell in their right minds would pay $14.99 for a shit film like that with Lindsay Lohan in? Oh, come on, that's a mistake. Yeah. That's not misleading. That's an error.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a one in front of the four.
Yeah, especially since Apple is not even setting those prices.
No,
like it's like the iTunes anyway. Store. It's the rights holders. They set the prices.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. Kong versus Zilla was £15 to rent this week. You're having a laugh. Shove it up your arse. Yeah. Not interested.
You know, this pricing thing, I get where part of the confusion's coming in, and I don't know who's to blame for it, if it's Apple or if it's the studios, but a lot of that grouping that you're seeing where it's like, hey, these are $4.99 movies, these are $7.99 movies, when you go and look, it's just the rental price is that lower price, and that's not being made clear.
Yeah, and I would blame both.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm totally fine with that.
But who, I mean, this is the thing that gets me is you know, if I go to buy a movie, I click on the movie, oh, that's cool, that's come up, I'll buy that. And then I click on it and I look at the price before I buy it. I know that might be revolutionary, but before I click, yeah, I'll have that, empty my pocket, I actually do look at the price.
Yeah, especially since it's like it shows the price twice. It shows it once before you buy it and then once when you buy it.
I'll quite happily give Apple grief over stuff, but sorry, people. Open your eyes. Sharon and I, the other week, we were sitting down looking through the movies and we went up and it was something like 699 movies. I'm like, oh, we got to buy a really good movie for the 700th movie, which we still haven't bought. And she said, how have we got 700 movies? Because I click buy a lot. How much is that? It. And we went through and worked out.
I'll do it.
We got £9,000 worth of movies on Apple.
Oh my gosh.
Like, holy shit. Lot. That's a lot of movies.
As a stockholder, thank you.
That sounds like that's my annual. No, hang on. Before you start and write in and say there's children starving in the world, that sounds like my annual budget for movies. And it's not. That's over. That's going back as long as you could buy Apple movies, so at least 3 years.
Over 10 years.
At least 3 years.
I'm trying to dress it up, but it doesn't.
Budget's £1,000 a year for movies.
No, and no matter how I say that, it comes out as a pig in a tutu. That just doesn't work. No.
$3,000 a year on films, well done.
No.
Christ.
No, it's not that much. Jesus, I'm not that affluent for a start. But those were the top two stories today.
I mean, there were some other stories.
No, I know there is. I'm only kidding. But it's like those are the ones that really leapt out at me. Apple is rolling out tags in the App Store to help refine popular search results. Damn, this is a little bit underdue. Overdue.
Underdue.
Underdue may not be a word.
That like 10 years ago.
Underdue would be crispy, wouldn't it? If only
close. I mean.
Oh, right. Okay. Sorry. I just think the thing is, as well, that the search process for all of Apple's stores is useless. And it doesn't matter how hard I try and look for the positives in it. I can type in the exact frigging name of the thing that I want to find in the movie store, the Mac App Store, the iOS store, and it's still not the first search result returned.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason is that Apple lets everybody game the system. Like, I mean, there are apps that just, like, they put, like, a million keywords in their titles and descriptions for, like, completely unrelated stuff just so that they get the position.
Yeah. So tags is going to be great, but even that I don't think is going to solve the problem. But the thing is, well, they're saying, oh, we're putting this in because there's over 2 million apps, or nearly 2 million apps, in the App Store. And you're going, God, that's an immense amount. But how come you only show me the 36 that you want to sell me every week? Because that is what happens. You get the top 36 mm-hmm. that come up, and you go, no, I want to find these. And even when you type in a name of where you know there's an application, it may not show it you because the top 35, 36 that it shows you, it just doesn't want to. Apple doesn't let you go through their entire catalogue. I mean, if I was an app developer, I'd be pissed at that.
You know what we need? Spotlight.
Yeah. I mean, just the ability just to more easily find these apps because, you know, I'm looking for apps all the time. You can't find them. It's not tagged well at all.
No, well, the easiest way is.
Yeah, go ahead, Patrice. I bet you're going to say what I'm going to say.
It's like the easiest way you can get to an app is use your search engine or find like one of your friendly websites that link to it.
Yeah, Google. Yep. Where you saw it, where mm-hmm. they said buy it, and Google. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is that what you're going to say, Chuck?
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say Google instead of search engine, but yes, that's mm-hmm. absolutely it. You find the app's website, and then you click on the link that says buy on the App Store and get there that way. It's right. pathetic, but it's true.
It was interesting last night. I picked a widget application for the iPhone as my cool thing, and no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't find the app for the iOS device. I went in Google, couldn't find it. Went in the App Store, couldn't find it. I could only find it on my phone, and then I couldn't send the link to myself because when I sent the link to myself, it went to the App Store. And it was just like, God, I know what this application is. I know exactly where it is, and I can't find the frigging link for it. It's just, it's broken. Utterly, utterly broken.
And you and I tried to find it too because you were complaining about it. And you were able to finally get it on the Mac Store. I could never find it on the Mac App Store.
So how did you get it at all then?
Well, I already had it.
Oh, okay.
But if I didn't, no, I wouldn't have it.
It took me 3.5 hours to find the application I already had.
Yeah, that's a horrible disservice to users and developers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Apple sort this stuff out. It's not hard. Come on.
Yeah, this is why when people say, oh, Apple needs to make their own search engine to compete with Google. No, they don't.
Well, they don't have a long history of search, do they?
Well, maybe they do so they can finally figure it out. Like, maybe that's the problem.
Or buy DuckDuckGo.
You know, Jimmy Redneck in our Slack room put a thing, Skype is the only software that every version has made it worse. And he's right. But I look back now at Front Row with fondness because at least I could find stuff. It is that bad.
Oh,
the more that Apple go down the search route, the more they cock it up, the worse it gets. Just they've got to strip it all out and just start again because they cannot do it. They've got to get someone from Google. Go poach someone from Google to come and sort out your search crap.
Yeah.
Because you're crap
at it. I don't want to apologize for Apple because it is crap. It is not an easy thing. I mean, what the examples we have are easy where we say, okay, if I enter the app name, I want the app name to come up. But it's not as easy when you think about the scale. Like, I mean, like the big disadvantage of that is how do you surface new apps and like give them a chance if someone searches like for a term?
Yeah, but if something's like, really hard and you can't do it, then don't do it for a living.
Yeah, that's true. As I said, like, you're right. Like, Apple is big enough and has enough money and enough smart people that they should be able to do it.
Exactly. It's
like
not,
if you and me couldn't do it, okay, like that's fine.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I open up the plumbing under the sink and go, I don't know how to deal with this, and it'd probably get worse if I started. So I'm going to call the plumber. And if you don't know how to deal with search and you've got a track history of cocking search up beyond belief, like Apple have, call the search plumber.
Yeah. And, I mean, 2 million apps is not that much.
No, that's 2 million hits to find.
That's exactly what I was just about to say. Like, it's only 2 million things to search for. Like, it's not like it's Google where there's trillions or however many. Like,
yeah.
It's, well, It's only 2 million.
And it's worse than that. It's only 2 million. And Apple knows exactly what all the search criteria is.
Yeah. They know every detail about every app.
Is it time to start? I mean, there's a thing there with tags. Is it a time to say, right, we will only search on tags and you've got 10 tags for your app and that's it? And if you can't, because I mean, that's the great thing. I mean, I come from a world of photography and I was pretty good at tagging my images, which is why I had decent sales in stock sites until there was just so many images. I mean, when I started working on online stock sites, there was 800,000 images tops at any of the places that I was at. Now, not one of them has less than 100 million. So my stuff doesn't get found as easily, even though it's tagged really well. But I got hits because I was good at tagging. And there's no reward for good tagging in the App Store. Like you say, Patrice, you can tag as much as you like. You can throw as many things in as you like. And if someone said, right, you've only got 10 statements, 10 statements to find your app. If you can't do it in that with the title and 10 statements, you deserve not to be found anyway.
Yeah, it's the opposite. You are incentivized to be bad at the App Store. Like, yeah, the worse absolutely. You make your description and everything, the better someone might be able to find you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Apple, sort it out. Well, they do listen to the show, so they'll probably come out with that as their own idea in another 2 weeks. There'll be a keynote in a few weeks to launch the new iPad or something, and then they'll go, and by the way, we've come up with this amazing idea, you're only going to get 10 tags for your apps. I'm like, you bastard. They always steal my good ideas.
Yeah, it's not a lot. I mean, I know one podcast that I listen to that shall remain nameless. And when you look at their show description, they've got a paragraph of tags, not the description, but tags this long. And it's like, okay, I get it. And the interesting thing is I could make an argument for every single one of the tags that, yes, they did mention, you know, that one thing in one sentence in the show. So it's a legitimate, but it is absolutely gaming the search engine system.
Yeah.
And I did not know if Apple's allowing an unlimited number of tags, then what's to prevent anybody from putting in, you know, that many tags and confusing everything?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of what happened with Google and websites, like, I want to say 10 years ago, maybe. Like, you remember those websites where there were just like a million keywords at the end of the page?
And they'd be the same color as the page.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of went away because Google just like ignored it and figured out what was happening and just
LinkedIn,
blocked everything.
LinkedIn's got a 3-hashtag policy, hasn't it? So if you put in more than 3 hashtags, your post starts to slip down the search results. Yeah.
Yeah.
The next story, I think this is brilliant. I've always loved the... So years and years and years ago, they banned the sale of eggs at Halloween because kids were buying eggs and then egging houses for trick-or-treat. It was in our local area, for the day before, they banned the sale of eggs to under-16s and they banned the sale of all eggs after 5 p.m. on Halloween. So I thought, that's a great idea. So they
So you live in an area that's just full of little hooligans.
Yes, absolutely. No question.
That is essentially what Birmingham is.
So we were sitting in on Halloween that night, the first time that they'd done this, and there was a thump on the window, and we went out to look, and Sharon's like, oh, they've egged the house. And I went out, and I found a Tesco yogurt. It's these little tiny pots about this big, and they were only 9p each, so they were actually probably cheaper than the eggs. And they got those instead, ripped the tops off and were throwing those at the windows. And Sharon's like, the little bastards, they should be locked. I said, you're joking. Adapt and overcome. I bloody love this.
It's super creative.
So if you want to sell your Android phone to an iPhone user, what do? You get a website and you put the website up and then it downloads a web app for them. And they can play with the interface on your phone, on your iPhone, and Apple can't do a damn thing to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Story of the week.
Okay, that's clever.
I love this story.
That is super clever.
That's very good.
Yep. Meanwhile, they're harvesting all your information from using that app, yeah. So they know exactly who you're calling and what you're doing. Yeah,
so they want to give you the full Android experience.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
Yes.
There should be some viruses in there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No, I mean, so the risk you've got is that everyone downloads and goes, yeah, Apple have got me for another 10 years because this is crap. But
Yeah, I mean,
well, I was just so impressed at the skill and ingenuity of thinking of that as a way around it. Well done, Samsung. Has anyone ever used
It's the perfect way.
In fairness, I mean, Callum. Apple should be all over this because this is probably going to be their biggest marketing tool. It's because I can't imagine it's going to run very well on it. I think it's not an OS
for a start, so it's pretty much just a web page, so it'll run as well as any web page, I presume.
I think that could be a bit of a disaster for Samsung, to be honest. Unless it's done well, I think it could be a bit of a disaster. But it is a very good idea, though.
I think it's the perfect idea. They have it's their UI. It's full. They have full control over it. They have already people that built it. It probably was relatively easy for them to do.
And I don't know if I agree with it'll be a disaster, Cal, because I mean, I'm trying to think of the people I know that use iPhones, and I realize that this is a bit of an echo chamber, but how many of those people are really Android curious? Do they really care, or are they happy with their iPhone? So
I think more it's got the potential to be. I don't think it may or may not be, but I think there is definitely the potential there for people to look at it, use it, and go, I'm happy where I am. Definitely happy where I am, because I think if you look at it from the other side, you're not going to get the full Apple experience if you're trying to use an Apple interface on an Android phone. So I think if you're looking at it from the other way, it's going to be the same. So I think it's an idea to get your foot in the door, but I don't think it's going to sell it, personally.
No, I don't know how many flows. I love the term Android curious. Because that just, it's like another LGBTQT category that I've got to learn as an old man. Or it's a new thing that goes up on your Tinder profile. You know, who are you? I'm Android curious.
This is making me ill. I just put it on here.
Oh, my
God.
You suckers.
Look at that.
Is it actually really suckers? And you're clutching your chest then, like you're an architect. Don't do that, mate.
And now they're sending me messages, you know, like they're, it has their whole message app, and so it's just like loading messages into that now to tell me how great, oh my God, how great Android is.
Oh God, make me sick.
So what you're saying is effectively you've just downloaded herpes.
I have. Okay, now here's the great thing. Now that
what
I'm into the
messages, what happens if you type that into the app store?
How do you get back to the Android interface?
Yeah, because it's a website.
Right. So if I do what I would normally do, swipe up,
it just kills
it. I'm not an Android anymore.
No, but you're still going to get messages.
Well, no, wait a minute. Is it an app?
No, it's a web page, and the first thing that happens when you go to the web page is it says, "Hey, you need to add a bookmark to your home page,"
yeah,
and then go to that. And so I'm assuming it's just setting a cookie that says they've hit the page, so now use this. Bookmark that has a special tag in it so we can know they've already hit the web page and track me. But so since it's running just as a web page, I'm assuming the only time I will see any of the messages that I'm being sent will be when I actually launch the Android thing.
I mean, look, when you're tapping the folder, it's actually telling you to you don't want to look at the clock app, but this is what happened. This is how it works. I mean, there's a bunch of folder apps here. This is just a bunch of graphics telling you, this is so great.
I love the fact of the idea.
Isn't that what Steve Jobs basically meant when he said back then, like back in 2007, that like
stop!
It was all web apps?
I just love the fact that you click
Android should have been just a web app. That's kind of the story.
There you go.
Do you click on
Dave, tap on the camera because it starts playing a video telling you how great the camera is.
Does it really?
Yes. Oh my gosh.
I just love the fact you just click on the clock app and it just pulls up a clock that tells a random time that's not actually accurate, maybe. You're like, well, this can't be that good an operating system. God, it's half-hour.
Okay, that is just lazy because they know what time it is.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
it's getting deleted.
Meanwhile, Jeff and David have been harvested because now they went to a website they should not have gone to. And guess what, guys? And by the way, gave them information. So
there's your answer to your question. What happens if you type in herpes to the Mac App Store in your iPhone? You get Mac Keeper and you get this. And if any of you are sponsored by Mac Keeper, don't.
This is why Jeff gets so many dodgy adverts. We all wonder why, but he's running Android on an iPhone.
No, that's because he spends all his time with the sex gadget at CES. So.
I didn't want to say, but fair enough.
Yeah, but you love the interviews that I do there, don't you?
Mate, that's a classic episode. We need to find that because that shouldn't be disappearing.
Especially the videos, yeah.
Yeah. That video... Our roving reporter at CES that night was just the best thing that ever happened on BTN. It was superb. I've never laughed so hard in all my life without alcohol.
that was a really fun interview.
Right, decent Apple news. I was going to do that in the first 10 minutes. All that lot. Decent Apple news then. Apple announces Find My Network, but the key thing to this that may be a game changer is the fact that it's got support for third-party devices. Now, the real question is whether it's as throttling as it is for HomeKit or whether this really is fairly all-consuming, because if it is, I mean, I would have thought it blows the crap out of some of their potential markets with the beacons, but this looks quite interesting.
I mean, back when they announced it last year, I want to say, the big advantage of it is that basically every iPhone in the world can be used to like find your devices. So the big issue usually is if you're tracking your bike or whatever, it usually doesn't have an internet connection. So how are you going to find it again?
Yeah, absolutely.
And with Tile and so on, you need someone who has the Tile app and has that active to
and that was the same with the TrackR Rover.
Connect to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. With this, every iOS device, as far as I know, in the world, or every maybe even Macs, I'm not sure about that, is basically a sensor. And when a device, or like your bike in this case, gets close to it, you will get a notification.
See, the interesting thing with this is how the functionality actually then begins to work. So if you're talking about the fact that there's a physical beacon, and the tag, for example, that kind of ruins Apple's market if they let other tags in for their tags that are going to come in, unless their tags aren't real. And the other thing then is if you can hard code this into the operating system of the TV that's been nicked, and no matter what the person who's nicked your TV does, they cannot remove that identity once you've coded it in. That would be a game changer for theft of devices, because it would just kill it entirely, because the ubiquity of iPhone would mean that within a 10-meter radius of every house you walk past, stolen TVs are going to be fined, and you could link this to an automated system that then just tells every police force across the world, stop looking and get the stuff in lockups, because that's where it is.
Isn't that kind of what Apple did in their stores with their devices there? Like when they left the premises, they would basically lock up.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's not what I'm talking about, though. Dave, go on. What were you going to say?
No, I was going to talk about the U1 chip, and that's what it's doing. It's taking advantage of the exact accuracy of on the iPhone 11 and iPhone 12 that have that U1 chip. That's giving the accuracy of access to find this stuff. So I think that in itself is going to be a game changer for these third party devices. You know, Belkin with the Soundform earbuds. That's when they announced that at CES. I was like, wow, this is going to be pretty awesome to be able to buy something other than AirPods or Apple products to be able to actually find them when you lose them. And yeah, these AirPods are easy to lose. And with the U1 chip always transmitting, going to give a much more accurate ways of being able to find the device is going to be pretty awesome.
How is it going to work in third-party devices then, though? Is it going to be in the code? Don't forget the code on a TV, because all of your TVs have got wireless units in them, the Wi-Fi units in them, so they can transmit constantly. Does it have to be U1 chip included?
No, it will work on the older iPhones as well. It just won't be as accurate. Yeah. That's the only thing as far as location.
Right. And that's what makes it possible for third-party manufacturers to update their existing products that are already out in people's hands to take advantage of this. So Tile can take all of the tags that I already have on all of my devices and make them work with Find My.
Yeah, but Tile's not doing it. They're not part of the initial launch group, so...
Yeah, not
this way, what that happened.
Yeah.
Chuck, I interrupted you, mate. Go ahead.
No, I wanted to point out, though, that one thing we haven't seen is we don't know what features the alleged Apple tags will have. So, I think it absolutely behooves them to open it up to the other folks, because you've got an automatic network then, of tags that are out there. Yeah. And I use Tiles. I probably have half a dozen scattered in different things. But one of the things that I found is that it's at least in the ones that I have bought, that the batteries are not replaceable. So I have to basically throw that Tile away and get a new one every year. Now, I don't know, maybe they have one with a replaceable. I haven't looked.
They're all replaceable now.
Yeah.
Are they? Okay. Well, then that takes that away. But,
The Trackar Bravos have got just CR232s.
Yeah, so, that's the one thing. If let's say, Apple implements two or three features that are just Apple tag features, then that would be enough of a differentiator, depending on the price and what the device is. It scrolled away from me here, but... somebody, was it Tom? Yeah, Tom in the chat room said maybe put one on my cat's collar in case he wanders off. Yeah, that's that's a perfect example. And for that, you might want one with all the bells and whistles, as opposed to just one for, a briefcase or something like that that you care about, but not that much.
Yeah, there is one issue that Apple is trying to address though, with this that. It's a little bit difficult. I mean, I think Apple's kind of trying to play it both ways. And that is for all the women out there. It's like stalking and people putting tags in your clothing or whatever and tracking you that way. I mean, in theory, it can happen to anybody, but I think women especially are vulnerable to that. And Apple is trying to address it, but I'm not convinced it's the right solution.
I didn't even think of that.
Which part, Patrice? What is, do you mean, tags?
Or? Yeah, what they're trying to do is basically if a tag from another person is close by, it actually alerts you, which is kind of defeating the purpose.
Oh, okay.
Of a anti-theft device.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit difficult, and I'm not sure what the solution is, but I don't think Apple has solved it.
I mean, one of the things that you've got with the problem with GPS trackers in cars is the fact that people are taking the GPS trackers out of cars because when the car is turned off, they're the only things that have got a light on them, so they're dead easy to find once you lift the bonnet up. You take them out and they've got 20 minutes of backup battery on them, so then as soon as you snap them off and chuck them in the bin, you drive off in the car. Person goes out and goes, oh, someone's stolen my car, and they ring up and go, someone's stolen my car, and the GPS firm go, no, it's on your drive. Yeah, it's in the bin on the drive. The GPS tracker is, but not the car. Whereas if the car had a hard-coded OS or something like that that was constantly transmitting, you can't get rid of that, and you can notice the change in deviation from the GPS coordinates. Or if you've got a TV that in its OS it can transmit out of the Wi-Fi, blankly, and any iOS device that's walking past will then pick this up, then you've got something that really is a game changer to the theft market. But whilst it's going to be something that's a beacon, or it's going to be a physical thing attached to the device or inside the device, people will steal it, rip that out, and then it doesn't matter that you've got it. It's not a deterrent.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why Apple is partnering with, like, I mean, there's a bike company that Apple, like, one of the initial launch partners is a bike company. I think that's why they're doing it. I mean, nothing is perfect. Anything can be hacked. I mean, iPhones have activation locks, and they're still getting stolen all the time. Because, yeah, I guess they're still useful, even if they're locked. So it's not a perfect solution. But you're right, like, something that can just be taken out or ripped out is like, too easy.
Magic Man asks, could it be made part of CarPlay? Of course it could. But then it goes back to the same problem that Ewan just described. Just take the CarPlay head unit out of the car,
and you've
killed the tracking.
Yeah.
And we haven't even touched on, well, Patrice touched on it a little bit, about the privacy part. That if my car is constantly broadcasting where I am, is that something I really want to have happen?
Right.
Because the insurance companies are offering all these telematic devices with the incentive of reducing premiums depending on how you drive. And, you know, is that a good idea? Because some customers respond really well. Others that I think have any kind of education and privacy are saying, well, I'm not so sure I want to sell my, at least part of my privacy data for, you know, just a tens or even a couple $100s,
but it's
especially to an insurance company.
It's all of that is the value profile, surely, Chuck. It's what value do you place on that information versus that privacy versus that inconvenience? And if you're saying, I mean, I drive like an old man everywhere. I put a speed limiter on. When it's a 30, I put it into a 30. And when I put it in a 60, it's a 60. And I never, ever speed. I'm just not interested in it. Because, you know, when you're a kid, you get your car for the first time and you park in on the double yellow lines where you're not supposed to park, and you get a ticket and you're like, oh, they're a bunch of bastards. I hate traffic wardens. And actually what you've got to realise is it's your fault. And at a certain point, when you get to a certain age of maturity, you realise that it is your fault and you shouldn't park, and you should just go to the meter and pay the 30p or whatever it was. And that's the end of it. And it's done and dusted. It's easier to comply with the law than it is to try and fight the law. And that's what speeding is for me. I don't speed. So would I like a tracker in my car that maybe took my insurance to a quarter of what it currently is? Damn you, I don't give a shit if they know where. If they want to follow me, have a good time, boys, because it's a boring old life. I ain't off to see a mistress or anything like that. It's just supermarket, office, home, job, supermarket, office, home.
Yeah, but you and there's one piece of the equation you just stated there that I would agree with you. If we were talking about cutting your premiums by 75%, down to a quarter, heck yeah, you know, that's something anybody would look at. Unless you really are engaged in something nefarious.
It's a benefit profile.
If you're talking about the minimal premium decreases that they're talking about, nah, I'm sorry, I'm not giving up my information.
I agree. If there is no change to my insurance premium, then the insurance company can piss off. But if, you know, why do people skydive? Because the thrill outweighs the risk. They do that risk assessment. They maybe don't do that risk assessment, but, you know, your insurance, Jesus. You know, life is risk. It's about estimations of risk, about how likely it is to go right or wrong. And the same thing applies with your privacy. How likely is it to be used correctly or misused? And if you think that it's misused, then you've got to place the benefit on how much you're getting from it at the other end. And if you think it's got to be misused, then the benefit's got to be massive. If you think that actually the company is probably going to anonymize your data and just use it for trend tracking and it's not going to be misused, then if they're giving you a small reward in return, it's worth taking. You have to do that risk assessment. That is life. Whether you like it or not, it is. There you go. Sorry.
Yep.
Where's my soapbox? I've put it down. iMessages, apparently, in the fight between, and I'm really not interested in the fight between Epic Games and Fortnite and Apple, that's not what this is about. No. But in one of the emails, it's been revealed that Apple is not bringing iMessage to Android, and it's put its reasonings in for it. And the question that was raised in that is whether iMessage is a big enough thread or pull to keep people in the ecosphere of iPhone. If you're going to stay in your iPhone bubble, is iMessage going to be the thing that keeps you there, or should iPhone become ubiquitous?
I think it is, to some extent. I mean, it depends on the individual person. Like, some people, they only interact with people in like the Apple ecosystem. So for them, like, everybody is on there, and switching to something else is just, it's just not going to happen. Because if everybody is on iMessage, like, how are you going to convince everybody to switch to, I don't know, Signal, for example? It's different if you're already on Signal or WhatsApp or whatever, because then it's kind of a no-brainer. You're like, okay, we're just gonna not use iMessage anymore. Done. So it depends, but I certainly think for some people it is.
I think it is unfortunate that iMessage is not another platform. So
yeah,
especially things like sending mm-hmm. pictures, or I mean WhatsApp. That's the only thing I can use now to send pictures to people that are Android users.
And I think the world is worse for that, because I personally think UI flaws, iMessage is better than WhatsApp.
The telcos have got to take some responsibility in this, because when it comes down to it, it's like, if I send Ewan, pay us 30 quid a month and you can have unlimited data. Bravo. Cheers. Thanks very much. iMessage sends a picture to someone and they charge me 30p. And you're like, whoa, I thought I got unlimited data. Ah, but that's a medium message. It's a different thing entirely. No, it's mm-hmm. not. It's ones and friggin' zero, you thieving bastards.
Mm-hmm. But Tom in the chat room brings up the point I was going to bring up. But iMessage can send, receive via SMS to Androiders. So, I agree. I don't have any trouble communicating with my friends that don't have iPhones.
Well, now, there's the question, because this is down to your telco then, whether they charge you. So if you send an emoji or a digital image, do you get an excess charge on your bill, yes or no?
No.
I am unlimited, so no.
So I do.
No.
I'm on an unlimited data package. But if I send an iPhone an iMessage to an Android user, so they're the green ones in me pile. If I send
the green bubble,
the green bubbles. If I send to the green bubbles an emoji or a picture, that's deemed to be an MMS, and I get a charge of, I think it's actually 60p at the moment per message that I send.
Yep.
On top of my bill, and though I'm on unlimited data with the company that I'm with, Vodafone.
And most of the American carriers are messages and calls are all unlimited. I mean, like I'm T-Mobile messages, in the United States.
So if I send
I'm getting
a
unlimited
message,
everything. So
no. If I send a text message to an Android user, unlimited. It's not an issue. But as soon as I send a picture to an Android user, I am charged 60p for every message.
We're not. So you need to switch carriers, you.
It's no standard practice, mate. Every single carrier in the UK does exactly
in the UK.
That.
The trade-off is MMS you actually have health coverage.
Oh, right. That's true. Silly of me. Yeah.
I don't know. I would sacrifice that to be able to send a picture for
free.
That's
because you're 21, mate. When you're 54, you just spent a week in hospital flat on your back and 2 weeks in your bed, you'll think differently, my boy. I promise you.
But think of all those pictures you couldn't send. I think you're missing a trick there.
I did take a few pictures in the hospital. I mean, compression socks. Now they were quite the sight, I can tell you.
No, I've changed my mind. I don't want to receive that picture.
I'll send it you straight after this show, because you're an iPhone user.
Blue bubble.
There's loads of more serious stories, but no, we're not doing this show and all the others is supported by fantastic support people, just unbelievable kind friends to this network. First one is TSO Host. They've been with us for a number of years now. They're great. They love you guys. There is an offer code. BTN20 gets you 20% off all your hosting services with TSO Host. But that's not what they want out of the BTN army. What they really do want is you every single week that you listen to this show and you think how great we are. They need you to send out a message on the socials that says thanks at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech. Plain and simple. That is it. Nothing else. That's all you've got to do. And this network stays afloat with TSO Hosts. They love us. So you got to love them back, you know. Otherwise, we all disappear. The other thing I want to say is that we've got a show called The Daily Show that's done every single day by Carl Swagger. He's an American guy who lives with his wife out in the Philippines, and he does The Daily Show every single day. It's the perfect location in the world because America goes to sleep and the tech industry shuts down. Kyle makes the show during the day for him, and he posts it up, and it's on your breakfast table at 9 a.m. It's a fantastic listen. He does a great job on that, and we pay him to do it every month. It only costs us $250. But he gets paid to do that, and he gets paid out the donations from people to the network. Those donations are starting to run a bit low. Now, quite a lot of you out there probably are thinking, well, I donate, I do it through Patreon. You've got to be aware that Patreon and eBay fall out an awful lot, and your Patreon donations have started to slip down. I think we used to get about $400 a month, but we only get about $50 or $60 now every month. And if you subscribe to us through the network, you'll get the same problem that periodically eBay just won't send you money through. Not eBay, PayPal won't just send you money through. So please, if you think you're donating to the network, thank you. We really appreciate it. But please double check that you are actually sending the money through, because quite a lot of people aren't. So if you value the service of the network, you particularly Kyle Show the News Dope, please, please, please give us a donation, because if we get below $250 a month, then the show will stop. It's simple as that. We haven't got the money to pay for it, so we do appreciate it. The next people who's looked after us are iMedMax. They are stunning individuals. They send us a guest every week for the show, unless it's bank holiday. He doesn't come kicking and screaming. He actually comes out of his own choice, whether he says he does or not. He's a liar if he says he doesn't. And anything with an Apple logo on, they will repair. Plain and simple. So, if you've got anything going wrong, bring it to iMedMax. If you've got a legacy device, it's a no-brainer because Apple won't touch it anyway. If you go to Apple and say, oh, it needs a brand new motherboard, or it needs a new logic board, or something like that, then go to iMedMax after that and say, does it? And they'll probably say, no, it doesn't. And there might be a bit of soldering or a component repair or something simple that can be done. And you'll probably get a bill that's less than half of what Apple were going to charge you. Simply as well, if you've got any old crap lying around with an Apple logo on it that you don't use, then send it to iMedMax. They'll give you a fee for it, either because they can resell it or because they can reuse the parts from it. And they can do data recovery too. And they don't charge you if they don't get the data back. Superb people. Now then, Callum, is there a feature of the week, a machine of the week, or a service of the week that you've got to talk about?
So we've got lots of MacBook Airs here. So they're all on the website. They all come with a 6-month warranty. They're all sort of ranging from about 2014 up to 2019 model, just before the M1. Everything is up on the website. So if you head over to mmax.com and hit refurbished, everything will be listed there. And of course, you get 5% off the list price if you mention BTM before you check out as well. And I just want to say on that as well, it's not only if we can't recover your data, if we can't fix your machine. So even if we ship it from anywhere in the UK and we can't fix it, we'll ship it back free of charge. You won't pay a penny.
That's impressive. Cheers, mate. I was going to say something else that was important then, but I've forgotten. It was right in my mind. Just triggering off something you said. But we'll come to it. Let's do the cool thing. Callum, you're first, mate. Do you want to start us off?
Yeah, so my cool thing this week is an app. It's a game called GeoGuessr. I think it's a bit of an old one, but I've really been struggling to find a game that I like on an iPhone for probably 2 or 3 months. Joe has found this one the other week. I know it's been around for a while, and it's just really good, and it's a game where you can pick it up, play it for 10, 20 minutes and then put it down again. It isn't too heavy, it's a really nice game, and it's free. There are in-app purchases, but to be honest with you,
you don't need
I don't see why you'd ever pay. So yeah, really nice little game, and it's scratched an itch for me on my phone, definitely.
Excellent, mate. Cool. Thank you for that. GeoGuessr. What have you got for us, Jeff?
Well, my cool thing changed because I got a delivery that I was able to go and grab off the porch while you were doing the ads. So we're doing an unboxing right now. And
fantastic. A live unboxing.
We have to start with the box.
Oh, it's a significant package.
Wow, that's a big box.
Jeff, there we go. New show title, Jeff's Significant Package.
Best show title of the month.
You're very brave using a knife while you're not wearing trousers.
I live on the edge.
I was going to say, are you kidding? Jeff uses his wit to undo parcels.
Still a bit soft.
Jeff's losing the battle.
Lego. Oh, you git! Well. I can't believe you did it.
I totally did it.
Yes. For those of you on audio, it's the space shuttle Lego thing we talked about the other week.
So, yes, we have the space shuttle Lego
Discovery
in-house. Holy crap. Okay, so this thing has 2,354 pieces in it. And the box weighs a lot.
I'm going to be
Lego
surprised,
bricks are not cheap.
No. Oh, that's brilliant, mate. That, and the thing is, the shuttle is probably about the length of that box when it comes out. It's a good half meter in length, isn't it?
Yes. It may a little bit bigger than half meter.
You have no idea what a half meter is, do you?
Yeah. Well, you mean like real half meter or men half meter? I was hoping that I could easily find the instruction manual in here. But seriously, I mean, there's so many bags of bricks in this thing.
Yeah, I don't pop one of those by mistake. God.
Don't let the cat get to it either.
Yeah, keep your office manager away.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And actually, the price per brick on this is pretty good because you always assume it's going to be 10 cents a brick. And since it's $199 and it's 2,354 pieces, this comes in at less than 10 cents a brick. So,
do you buy your Lego packets based on cents per brick?
It's a sad life, isn't it?
No. Yeah, what could you
That's
do?
That's an amazing way to justify spending that much on Lego.
I thank you. The price per brick.
Based on the weight of this, I'm going to have to reevaluate where I was going to display this because I think I need a shelf that can hold a lot more weight.
Yeah, no, there's quite a bit. I'm still, I mean, I've hovered twice now over the Lego Saturn V and the launcher.
The Saturn V, well, I showed
you
it.
You showed it, so but it's the launcher as well. It's the Saturn V with the launch module as well would be absolutely incredible in the office.
It would be very cool, yes.
It would make me look very juvenile, admittedly, but...
No, it'll make you look very cool, just like me. Oh, wait.
And Jeff, how long will it take you to put something like that together?
Well, since I won't build it all at once, because after a while, you just want to take breaks and I kind of want to savor what I'm doing. I'll build it over the course of a week, you know, an hour here, an hour there.
3,000 pieces. You're not putting them together at more than 1 a second. So 1 a second would be an entire day. Well, no, it'd be 2 entire days plus if you did 1 a second for 24 hours a day. So at 3,000 pieces, I'd be surprised if you finish that by next week. You haven't done anything else if you have.
Good point. And considering that...
That's why it will be done.
I'm probably not going to be able to start it today anyhow. Yeah, the likelihood that this will be done by next week's show is pretty low.
I've got that wrong as well. 1,400 is one a minute. It's 1,400, not 1 a second.
Yeah, 1 a second would have finished that in 40 minutes.
Yeah, so. No, one a second is 1,400. So it's if you do 1 a minute, it's minimum of 2 days just at 1 a minute bricks for 24 hours.
Yeah.
And you can put together more than one brick a minute.
Yeah, but I'd be surprised. You know, if you average it out by the time you've laid out bricks and then looked at stuff and that, I bet you probably build rate. Actually, you are now charged with going away from here and working out the build rate on that model and reporting back next week. There we go.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll let you know.
And Jeff, we want a time lapse too.
Oh, yes.
Get the time lapse.
We can do some time lapse.
We'll put that up as a special episode, no question. Jeff's time lapse.
All right. We'll do some time lapse.
Superb, mate.
And watch the bricks. The office manager's coming.
Now, the only thing I'm going to say, though, Jeff, is you can't have that as a pick because it's not an Apple product. No, I'm joking. Oh. Sorry. I'm joking. No, sorry.
No, wait. I can make this work.
Oh, go on.
I placed the order
on your iPhone.
Through my iPhone.
Done.
Good save, dude. Just
like the game I had last week. You probably got that in the mail this week too, right?
Yes.
Robot.
I got my copy of the robot game.
The chat room is going mad on talking about Airfix models and stuff like that. I got through the first lockdown by using Airfix models and Revel kits and stuff like that. It was brilliant.
By the way, Jeff, your office manager wants your attention.
Yeah, my office manager is being very needy right now all of a sudden.
Okay, moving on. For those that are on audio, that's a cat, by the way. Patrice, what's your cool thing?
Okay.
That made it sound. Changed. That sounded like Jeff was about to get a blowjob under the desk. I'm not having that.
That sounds like the best office ever.
Patrice, your turn.
I just changed my cool thing because it's something I've been using quite a bit. My cool thing is Swift, and specifically the Swift Argument Parser project. Because, and here's the really cool thing, you can build scripts and command line tools with it very easily. You need a little bit programming knowledge. You need to understand and learn Swift. But with that, I mean, I've built tools for my work that automate like a bunch of things, and it was super easy. I mean, said you need development skills to some extent or scripting skills to understand it. But it's not hard. Like, I mean, with a little Googling, and I want to say maybe 5-10 minutes, you can have like a command line tool that, I don't know, I don't know what you want to do. Sends a request to a server somewhere to, I don't know, trigger something, like an IFTTT script or something.
That's cool.
It's built in Swift. It's like you use Xcode, you use Swift. It's from Apple, so that's the cool thing. I'm pretty sure either that is a project from someone internally who wanted that, yeah, or they're actually using it for their own systems, because it is actively maintained by Apple.
Has this got to interface with the commands though as well, or can you do stuff that's really cool beyond the commands? So if you're saying you're interfacing with IFTTT, are you limited within the IFTTT scripts then, or are you creating new scripts that will then trigger IFTTT commands?
So, I mean, this is just the thing to build command line tools, like the old bash scripts or whatever you have used, Apple scripts, whatever you've used before, you could do it with Swift. You can do anything you want. There's no, like, it doesn't come with anything. It's literally just a tool to build scripts. But, like, I can give you a couple examples what I'm doing. For example, at work, I have to very frequently edit tickets in our ticketing system. And it's basically always the same thing. It's like click this box, click that box, enter this value here. I built, like, I want to say within half an hour, a script that automates like a 15-step process.
Oh, do you know what?
And I just click on the ticket number, right-click as a service, say process ticket as merge request, and it does everything for me.
I used to use Automator all the time for doing stuff with photos. And it's just, as soon as you started talking there, I was like, I haven't even checked if Automator is still a thing in the current.
It is. Current it is.
Actually, I've just got a spotlight search, but yeah.
Yeah, it is still. Yeah. I said it's for those people. It's probably more like a Brett Terpstra, Patrice kind of pick. No. But if you're into scripting, if you're doing anything like that, highly recommend it, because it is way better to work with Swift than any of the other languages.
Maybe Salsa Goins done it.
Good.
And pumped it out on the sly. Yeah.
It's free. I mean, what else can you do?
Yeah.
And it works. I mean, the other cool thing, it works cross-platform. It works on, like, it runs on Windows. It runs on Linux. Like, I have scripts in a Docker container that run on Linux servers. Works just fine because the Swift core runtime is available anywhere.
Cool.
So it's cross-platform.
Thank you, mate. Charles, what have you got for us?
I'm going to pick the Wyze Outdoor Cam this time around. I've been playing with this thing for about 2 months now. It's a security camera that you can mount outdoors, no wires. The battery life is advertised as anywhere from 3 to 6 months, depending on how you use it. Wow. And obviously how often it turns on. And I have to say that I've been 2 months and I haven't touched it, and it's at about 50% charge right now because you can see the charge in the app.
How are you charging it when it does need a charge?
You have to take it down and
plug it in,
right? Not to be, it takes about, according to the specs, I have not done this yet because I haven't had it that long, but it takes about 4 hours to bring it up to charge. So one of the things I'm anxious to see is if I'll be able to take a portable battery pack.
Yeah, I was thinking
out,
that.
Plug it in.
Yeah, and just go out with a phone charger pack and plug it in and leave it hanging.
Yeah, exactly. But
hey Chuck, you can charge it that way, but don't leave the battery pack plugged in all the time. If you run constant power to this camera, it voids the warranty.
Oh, okay.
I looked into that because I have one of these as well.
Okay. I wasn't going to do that. But thank you, Jeff. That is interesting. But I tell you, it's $50 for an outdoor camera. It's got local storage of an SD card, local storage. It's got 14-day cloud storage. The video is pretty darn good. It's not going to be an iPhone camera level, but it's pretty darn good. And it's one of those things that I get to look out anytime I want on my back patio just by tapping the app and looking at it, or letting it record the video automatically if I want to set up the alerts. Yeah. So for $50, it's not quite an impulse buy, but if you have a need or a want for something like this, yeah, it's pretty darn close to it.
So is it motion activated or constant or?
Whatever you set it to be, yeah.
Right. Okay. So your battery life is concurrent to whatever you set. Yeah.
Yeah. It's motion, or you can set specific times for it to grab shots as well.
Mm. Yeah. Cool. The biggest disadvantage I found to it is that the base station that it talks to just requires one more plug on your router. One more port, on your router. So if you have a router that is short on ports, you may have a little bit of an issue there. Beyond that, for $50, man, this is a very, very nice little camera.
Yeah. Hey, Chuck, one of the recent software updates, I think, took the need to use the base out of the mix. So, you could plug the base in, get it set up, and then take the base out and tell the camera just connect directly to the network.
Okay, I either missed that or didn't see it, or just didn't pay attention to it since I've already got it. I had a plug on my router, so it was not a big deal. So, yeah, for $50, if you have the need for a security camera like this, go for it.
Brilliant. No, I like that. It's a very attractive unit, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, very unobtrusive.
Yeah.
Yeah, very unobtrusive.
Cool. Dave, what have you got for us?
I have an app this week. This is an app called LiveScan, and it works on both the Mac, iPhone, and iPad. And I've found that this is probably one of the most amazing scanner apps that are out there. You can go anywhere to a sign, to a magazine, to anything that's got print on it, and be able to scan it. It brings up the text. You copy and paste it. You can send it in text. You can just a multitude of expansion as far as what this app can do. Let's say you go into the presentations, you go up and you want to scan some text, you can go right up to it. It'll bring you the text and, you put it into a document. Same thing if you're looking for, if there's a phone number that's listed somewhere, you got to want to make the call, you can scan it. It'll automatically call the number right from the app here.
So could you do a page of standard text on a normal page, like a letter page?
Yeah. Yep, and it'll convert it immediately. It brings it up into the clipboard and just paste it over, whether it be on the iPhone, iPad, or the Mac. It is free, but it's limited to like 50 characters per detection. But they have a lifetime subscription for $6.99 US. It's like a bargain. I mean, I would just jumped right on it, and you get lifetime access to this, and it's just an amazing app. I was very impressed with this, and you can see it all, if you go on that link, but all the ratings at 5.0. I'd give it higher than that. That's how great it is.
I did think it's impressive that no one slagged it off, and then I realized there'd only been 5 reviews, but even so.
It's been getting a lot, and I talked a bit about this app before on my show and did some demos, and it's just good. I haven't found anything else that comes even close to it as far as accuracy, and it works on the Mac as well too, and you can easily sync it between the Mac and the iPhone.
Yeah, the ping you just heard was me downloading it, so
Does it save the text and the picture, David, or just does it capture the text and discards the picture?
You can do both. It has the camera where it'll scan it, and if you want to save the picture, it can. It does give you that option.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's a great app. I was very happy with it.
Well done, though. Cool thing. Excellent. I've done everyone, haven't I?
You did.
Yeah. My cool thing is the Discovery Plus app. It's available on iOS, and it then works on your TV as well as if you've got Apple TV. And one subscription will do up to 4 instances of watching, from what I can work out, because the kids have watched it. I when I was in hospital, it was just like, okay, I'm enjoying Netflix, but I got to the stage after about the 3rd day of constant Netflix that I've had enough of this. And I fancied some of the crappy shows like Fast and Loud and that kind of stuff. I really love Fast and Loud. And then I saw Discovery app and I was like advertised on Instagram. And I was like, okay, I'll buy that. So I just pulled it up, used my Apple Pay, and I paid $50 for the year for it. And I haven't looked back. It's been great. I've really enjoyed it. My £600 Life is not one of my favourite shows. That's not what I'm into. But a lot of the Build It stuff or the ancient history stuff I'm really into. And when I was into this, I was like, oh, I really want the History Channel to do an app like this. But apparently they've got the Blaze app, and a lot of that you can get. And the Blaze app's free. So I got Blaze as well as, and it kept me going through the whole time I was in hospital. Absolutely brilliant. So I thoroughly recommend Discovery Plus. If you like watching Discovery Channel, then it's a no-brainer for you. Absolute no-brainer.
Yeah, I subscribe to it too, and you can catch your Diners, Drive-ins, Dives if you want to watch Guy Fieri and all those all the restaurants really he had been visiting. Shows, so.
I'm not into the life, the fly on the wall type stuff. That's just been done to death and it's crap. Desmond Morris did it well in the '70s. It's never been done well since. But some of the shows are just absolutely excellent. Well worth it. Where can we get a hold of you, Cal?
You can get hold of us and everything we do at IMMMax.com. We're on all the usual socials at IMMMax as well. You can get me in the Slack room. I'm on Twitter at O'Hara Callum. If you've got any questions or need anything, just let us know and we'll do our best to help you.
No, brilliant. Get in touch with the boys because they're absolutely superb. Jeff, where would you be?
Well, apparently for the next week at my table building the Lego Space Shuttle Discovery.
Not forgetting start a timer and not forgetting start a time lapse.
Right. So I guess I better pull out the tripod as well so I can get a good angle. And other than that, Twitter and Instagram, I'm Jay Gamet in both places. Here on the Mac Show, also on the Big Show, most Tuesdays on Mac Voices Live. Sorry I had to miss it this week, Chuck.
Hey, we missed you, but other things, life goes on.
Life goes on.
I've got to catch up on the Callum version of that. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. Anyhow, Google me. I'm easy to find.
Excellent, mate. Patrice, where would you be?
Well, I'm here every week on the Big Show and on the Mac Show. Everything I'm doing, all the social media links, you can find on thepatrice.com. And my podcast is the Footy Flashback, where I literally last week posted the latest episode with lovely Teresa, Tom Ferry's partner. Very interesting episode, a lot of surprises, so go listen. And if you want to be on the show, reach out to me. I'm looking for new guests.
Brilliant. And Chuck, where would you be?
MacVoices.com is where you can find everything we do. As Jeff said, we do Mac Voices Live Tuesday nights on, we will now be on YouTube only. So check that out. And I'm on the socials as at Chuck Joyner. Excellent. Thanks for having me, Ewan, as always.
Have they paid you a massive fee to be on YouTube only?
No, it was costing me money to be on Facebook and YouTube, and the Facebook people, frankly, just weren't showing up as much as the YouTube people. So, you know, and you can, you can't watch Facebook without logging in, but you can watch YouTube without logging in. I think that's the difference.
Makes sense.
So. Superb, mate. Thank you. Dave, where would you be?
Find me at InTouch with iOS at intouchwithios.com. I'm on here on the Mac show. I do Mac Voices Live on Tuesday nights with our great crew on there. I also do Mac to the Future Go live cast on Wednesday nights with Guy Cyril and Warren Sklar on Facebook Live. And you also find me on Twitter at DaveG65. Thanks for having me, as always.
Appreciate it. Pleasure, mate. Absolutely no problem at all. Come anytime you like. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech. Please don't forget to support Kyle and give us a donation if you can. We're back again next week as normal. Big show on Thursday and the Mac show on Friday, talking all the rubbish that we normally do about all the things that think that they're really important and they're not. Like tech. Have a wonderful weekend.
And the things we have no idea about.
Enjoy the freezing cold weather, but it's going to get much warmer next week, apparently. Avoid the bomb threats. See you next week.